Good morning. Welcome to the Holy Ghost Lutheran Church radio broadcast. We are so glad that you could join us this Sunday, May 15th, 2016. Each weekend, we have services as follows. A Saturday evening service at 6 p.m., a traditional service Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and a blended service on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages, including adults, starting at 9:15 a.m. We are located at 115 East San Antonio Street, just one block south of downtown Fredericksburg. We invite you to come and join us at Holy Ghost Church, where the coffee is always hot and the fellowship is warm and friendly. The theme for this Sunday is forgiveness and restoration, and the key verse is John 21, verses 15 through 17. May God bless you
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you, more worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 1 John 1 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows upon us his Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening song. Spirit, this is our prayer today. Oh, Holy Spirit, enter in, and in our hearts your work begin, and make our hearts your dwelling. So as we gather in worship today, we're praying that the Holy Spirit would come into our hearts, would touch us in that way where we can do and be about that which God would have us do and be. Now may the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Please bow. Dearest Savior, you sent your Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our guide. Inspire us by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to carry out the good news of the gospel as we seek to be and make disciples in Jesus' name.
Amen. The reading is taken from John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. Today we celebrate Pentecost. In today's text, Jesus forgives Peter of his early denial and restores him to leadership in the early church. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," He said, "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. On this Pentecost weekend, we celebrate the birth of the Christian church. As we heard already, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon those disciples, and they were empowered by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It was Peter in Acts chapter 2 who then addressed the crowd and affirmed that Jesus indeed had risen from the dead and he was God's promised Messiah sent from God. But before the giving of the Holy Spirit, we hearken back to that personal encounter that Peter had with our Lord here in what we just read from John chapter 21. That happened, of course, after the resurrection. Jesus was on the beach. They had caught the fish. And now after breakfast, there was a one-on-one conversation between Jesus and Peter. And so today's message focuses upon forgiveness and restoration. As Jesus asked, not once, not twice, but three times, "Do you love me?" Let's begin by looking at verse 15 there. Jesus asked the question in a very pointed way to begin with when he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" There's the key. Do you love me more than these? What does that mean? Well, you and I know that Peter was that bold, brash disciple whose heart was always in the right place, though his mouth sometimes got out of gear. And the question is directed at this daring disciple who back in Matthew 26, if you remember that story, before Jesus was arrested, he boasted braggadociously that he would never leave Jesus' side. Even if every other disciple deserted Jesus, he would remain faithful. Well, again, here's the example of his mouth getting ahead of his brain. In reality, Peter was bragging that he loved Jesus more than all the rest of the disciples. That somehow he was claiming a higher level of devotion than the rest. Well, you and I know the rest of the story. Jesus warned Peter that he would deny his master three times before the rooster crowed that night. And it was that rooster's crow that brought Peter to his senses again. And he went out and wept bitterly over his failure to remain devoted to his Lord. We fast forward to our text today. And here on the beach, Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to respond, which is why that first question is so pointed. This time, Peter answers humbly, without bragging. And then Jesus gives him those simple instructions, "Feed my lambs." You see, Jesus knew Peter's heart, that he was now in the right place. And Jesus extended that hand of forgiveness for Peter's earlier denial of him. We might say it was kind of a gut check to make sure that Peter was being a disciple of Jesus. But then Jesus asked the question a second time. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter's answer didn't change, though perhaps the seriousness of the question began to sink in more deeply for Peter. In fact, by Jesus asking the question a second time, it emphasizes the thoroughness of Jesus' questioning. Now that Peter's been forgiven, Jesus intensifies the importance of what it means to be a disciple. In discipleship, Jesus expects these things: obedience, humility, faithfulness, and dedication. There's no more room for denial. That's behind. And Peter needs to move forward. Peter's heart has to be right with God before Jesus restores him to leadership in the church. I like to put this in terms that we can understand today. Peter has to, first of all, be a disciple of Christ before he can disciple others. And you know what? Those disciplines have not changed over the centuries. Being a disciple means what we have right up here, the G-R-A-C-E-D. I've got it up here so you can see it clearly. Of course, the first thing, the very first thing, is going to God in prayer daily. Daily, taking time out of your schedule to have a conversation with our Father in heaven. To tell Him all of our cares, troubles, trials, tribulations, to ask Him to guide us in our faith, to pray for others, to give thanks. Daily prayer is where we begin. It also means reading God's Word daily, so that as we read God's Word, and I don't care if you read a paragraph, a sentence, a chapter, whatever it might be in that Word every day. Because when we do that, we grow in our knowledge of God. And we can use that knowledge to guide us in our daily decisions, in our daily lives, whatever we might face. God gives us what we need to move forward. Next is regular worship. It's the time that we set aside weekly to receive God's mercy, to be strengthened in our faith and in our service for the world. And those first three are how we respond and relate to God as we are being disciples. The next three are how we carry out that godly relationship with others, how we reach out into our community. So we connect through Bible study or small groups or Christian fellowship on a regular basis. You know what? We do that because there's strength in numbers. There's also accountability in that to one another for our faith lives. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to remind each other or kind of help each other. Hey, did you read God's Word this morning? Have you been in prayer today? And for us to hold each other accountable to those things. Then there's service. Some of that needed right here in the walls of the church, from simple tasks to the extraordinary. And then that service reaches out beyond these four walls to our community and to the world beyond, being able to share God's love with a world that needs to know that God indeed does love them and care for them. Because if we don't tell them, who is going to tell them? There is nobody else. That's our job, to share that good news. And last, but certainly not least, of our discipleship behaviors is to dedicate oneself to the tithe and beyond. It's not about being greedy, folks. It's not about hoarding what we have, but remembering and recognizing that God has given us 100% of everything that we have. And then by returning a portion of that, a portion for God's kingdom work in this world, to continue to share the good news. You know, nobody bats an eye when you're at a restaurant and you give 15, you tip 15 or 20%, right? When it comes to giving that 10% to a church, people go kicking and screaming or complain that the church is always asking about money. God wants us in all of these discipleship behaviors to be obedient, to be faithful, just as Jesus called Peter to faithfulness in our text. But then Jesus asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And it got to the heart of the matter. Did Peter really love Jesus? How many of you like being asked the same question repeatedly again and again? I don't see any hands going up. Nope. Not many of us like that, right? I got to tell you, last week was Mother's Day. Praise God. We celebrate our mothers. We need to remember them and honor them. But, you know, I love my mother. clever a bunch. I mean, after all, she brought me into this world. But there were, and there still are times that my mother does that to me, right? She will ask me something repeatedly, and I finally get riled up enough to say, "Dang it, Mom, quit bugging me. I got it already." Anybody ever done that? Yeah, right? Yeah, don't raise your hand on that one. And then, did anybody ever tell you that you're going to turn out just like your parents? Yep. You said, "No way, that is not going to happen." But I have found myself asking my kids some of those same questions my mother asked me. Those hard questions that you get tired of hearing. "My daughter, where are you going?" She doesn't like me asking that. "Who are you going to be hanging out with? You're not going to be drinking, are you? You better not be drugs. You better keep your zipper zipped." That came from my mother, honest to God. And it worked. All right. And I can hear that frustration in my daughter's voice. "Dad!" But then my response is, "If I didn't love you, I wouldn't ask." And so I'm going to keep asking those hard questions because I care about my daughter. I care about my children as God cares for us. And that's true here. Jesus loved Peter. Yeah, he knows what's in Peter's heart, but he wanted to hear it from Peter's lips. And so he asked, not just once, not just twice, but for the third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Jesus isn't trying to shame Peter here. He's seeking to reaffirm his call to discipleship. In fact, each time Jesus responds to Peter's love, he instructs Peter to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. On this Pentecost Sunday, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as promised to birth the Christian church. And all those questions and the intentionality of that one-on-one time that Jesus spent with Peter was to prepare him. To prepare him to be a disciple and to prepare him to make disciples. To grow the church, to spread the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. But it takes dedication. It takes obedience. It takes commitment. And it takes sacrifice to be and to make disciples for Jesus. So I leave you today with that same question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Amen.
God, we're thankful. We're thankful for the gift, the invitation for us to be able to gather in your house to hear your word, to receive your grace by faith, and Lord, then to move forward in terms of sharing that word in a world around us. Father, today we specifically thank you for the gift of forgiveness, for the blood of the Lamb who covers our sin, restoring us unto you. And Lord, it'd be a sin on our part to think this is just for us. So Lord, help us to extend forgiveness for those who have offended us, those who have hurt and injured us in word and thought and deed. Lord, help us to share the blood of the Lamb that has covered us with those around us. So Lord, right now, there is probably somebody in our thoughts, in our past, in our minds, that we need to bring before you so that we, oh Lord, might ask for that forgiveness and also extend forgiveness. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus, Savior, we are grateful. Grateful for the love that you have shown in your suffering, in your death and resurrection. And so, Lord, as you have given to us, so our goal is not just to keep it for ourselves, but, Lord, to extend it to others. And so we want to be mindful. Mindful, O Lord, of those in our network of relationships, in our workplace, in our family, in our neighborhood, of those people who might need to connect more significantly with you through a local church. So, Lord, we take a moment to think about those in that network that we might build a bridge with in order to make that invitation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, as you blew through the church on that very first Pentecost, so continue to blow through the church universal. Lord, we pray for the whole Christian church that it would be effective in saving souls. We pray, Lord, for our sister congregations in our area, St. Paul, Cave Creek, and Lord, their pastor, Pastor Clint, and his leadership there. We pray for St. John Burney as they continue to search for a pastor. And Lord, we pray for this church, Holy Ghost, our namesake on Pentecost, so that we might seek new, challenging changes where we might be more effective to continue to grow your church. And always remind us, O God, that it's your church, not ours. Christ is risen. Great physician, you are the healer of our every ill. And so we pray for a wholeness and full health to all those who are suffering. Lord, we are uplifting to you this day, David Hurster, Jimmy Waymire, James. And Lord, we're praying for your healing, for your strength, for your power, and for your might, for all those who are suffering from cancer, from diabetes, addiction and depression, grief, loneliness, and rejection. May your resurrection touch our hearts and minds, our bodies and souls, so that we may be raised up from our ailing and point to you. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would touch all those who are uplifted this day in our hearts and minds, and we name before you Roxy, Vicky, Stacy, family health, and thanks for the rain, for the Revis family to keep us safe, Curtis, Matthew, Lisa, and Sean, the Mexico mission trip, Charlie, Darlene, Judy, our kids, Mom and Dad. Lord, strengthen us all. Remind us, O Lord, on a daily basis that you are our rock and our refuge, the one that we can turn to in our time of need, and the one that we give thanks for our every fulfilling. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, blessed Savior, guide us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We think about the gift of the Holy Spirit and those words that are used in the Pentecost story, wind and fire. And I think about how wind and fire can be both a friend and something that causes, well, sometimes discomfort. A wind, a cool breeze, fire, a warm fire. But also wind can blow us. And also fire can move us. And so actually when we pray for the Holy Spirit, we pray for both. We pray that God's Holy Spirit would comfort us in those places where we're disturbed and would disturb us in those places where we've become way too comfortable. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and grant you His peace now and always. Amen. Sing our closing hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Now ended, and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, He is with you always, even till the end of time. God bless you in the week ahead.